Now, before we get started, let me explain. This is a study that we did in our Oasis over 10 years ago. Do some of y'all remember doing this? And, you know, I was trying to think, what do we want to study right as we're getting started back after the pandemic? We've been out of Bible study for a year. And I thought, well, I wish there was something really good for us that had a lesson for you to do during the week, just to get you back in a devotional kind of mindset to where you're every day getting in the Word. And this is excellent. This is just one of my favorite Bible studies, and I thought, you know, so many women have joined our class over the years since we began. I'm trying to think when we began. I think we began maybe 19 years ago. And it just blows my mind how fast time goes. And so this is a study worthy of repeat because it covers the basics of the Christian walk. And so I thought this is a good thing for us to start out with, just as we're getting in back into the groove in Sunday school. So you're going to do one lesson a week, and next week you'll do lesson one in this book. And then bring it with you. I may refer to part of it as you come. And so if you didn't get a book, raise your hand. Goodness, look at all these good. This is amazing. I'm so excited. We can pull more chairs. There's some more chairs we can pull around.
We started in 2005.
Oh my goodness, how many years ago? I can't even imagine that. 16. Okay, that's almost 20. We're getting close. So, I ordered 75 books, and I thought, well, that'll probably be enough, but we may need to order some more. But I think I've got enough for this morning. And Kelly has a few books in the back if you did not get one. And then if you walk out today, I don't know how many women we have here today, but we're going to be starting. I've got four index cards that are going to kind of travel along. And if you would sign your name to that index card, just so I'll know how many women we have here today. And I'll order more books tomorrow, ASAP, and they come really, really quick. All right, Jamie's got our handout, so raise your hand if you need a handout. How many did you make, Jamie?
20.
20? Okay, good. And here's a book here that someone can use. Anyone need a book? Good. Just your name. Uh-huh. All right. Everybody got a handout? Anybody else need a handout? Over here, Jamie, they need handouts. Well, let's jump right in because, they want me to be finished and everybody leaving the room between 9:30 and 9:45. So, Sandra, do you have a watch on? You got your phone? Would you alert me, kind of give me a 5-minute heads up for like 10:25, so I'll wrap it up. So I hope I can get through this lesson. Those of you who know me know I can get long-winded for some reason, I'm not sure. But let's open with a word of prayer and let's ask God to really speak to our hearts this morning. Pray with me. Our Father, we're so thankful for just such a blessing to be back together in your house. Just to get up this morning, it felt so normal just to come to Sunday school. And I just pray, Father, that as we meet this morning, that we'll meet with you and that you'll have a word for us this morning, that you'll just minister to our hearts and that we'll fellowship with you as we study your word together. I pray for every woman sitting in this room. God, we're scattered. We have so many plates spinning in our lives, and we just ask you to calm us this morning. Help us just to settle in our spirits. And help us, Father, just to open our hearts to your word to receive it this morning. That it might settle within us and cause us to be grounded and cause us to be settled and to have peace. Because, Father, those who know you have great peace. And so we come to know you this morning through your word, to know your ways, to know how you move. And you are so well acquainted with each of us. And you know all of our ways, Father. You know the very number of hairs upon our head. You know all of our concerns and our cares and our anxieties. And so this morning, we want to cast them all upon you because your word tells us that you care for us. How amazing. You know us by name. And so this morning, I pray that you will speak very personally to us, that you'll minister to our hearts, that you'll meet our needs, and that we'll have rich fellowship with you through your word. And we just pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I hope you can hear me. I can't really use a microphone because if I do, then I'm too loud. And there are classes meeting on either side upstairs. And so that interrupts them. So if you can't hear very well like me, I always sit on the front. So anyway, before we begin next week in our new study, I thought, well, what can I talk about this morning? And so I just decided to kind of come and do a lesson and just talk about the trial that we've been going through for over the last year with this coronavirus. And so I want us to, on our handout this morning, we're just going to list some reminders that the coronavirus has brought to our attention. And hopefully that'll just sort of encourage us this morning as we just let God's truth enter into our hearts and help us. Okay, so that's what we're going to do. Well, it's been a year. I went snow skiing with two sets of my children and their families in right at spring break. And I asked Sarah Lloyd to teach for me while I was gone. And so thank you, Sarah, for teaching for me last week, which was a year ago. And I know you enjoyed her, but I think that's funny. But what a crazy season we've been going through. And I remember when it first started, we thought, well, this will last a week. No, this will last 2 weeks. Well, maybe it'll last a month. I remember Brittany saying, surely the children will go back to school in a few weeks. No, she had them the whole year. And so it's been crazy. It's turned into quite an experience. And so we've settled sort of into our new normal of not meeting and not having fellowship together around God's word. And I'm so very, very glad that we're back together. And I'm so happy to see each of you here today. And I see many new faces joining us, and that's a blessing. You know, COVID has changed us all, hasn't it? It's been a very difficult season, more so for others than for some. But I think about even in our Sunday school class, there's been loss of life because of COVID. And in our extended families, too, loss of life. And it's just been a tragedy not being able to be with each other and to be with our families and to comfort each other in our losses. You can't go hug a person who's just lost their husband. You can't go minister. You can't do what you normally do. Even bringing food is a little weird, isn't it? And then not to mention the loss of jobs that have happened because of COVID, the loss of income, the loss of our sense of community together, the loss of having those we love with us during our weddings and during our holiday celebrations and their graduations and our funerals. It's just felt so very surreal. I actually had the virus myself. Along with many of our family members, we kind of just had a little pandemic going within our own family. And it was amazing because the hospital had just started giving the infusion. And so I was able to go get the infusion. And boy, that thing was a real deal breaker. I had it one day, and then 2 days later I was babysitting and feeling great. So it just was really a blessing for me. And yet, as everything around us feels so unstable today, we're going to come to God's Word. God's Word is stable. Amen? God's Word is called a sure word. You can take that word to the bank. You can build your life on that word. Its foundation does not wobble. Now, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount that the one who builds their life on the rock of the Word of God, the one who intently listens to it and obeys it, can be compared to a man who was looking for a foundation to build his house. And he built his house on a rock. That was his foundation. Look on your handout. I've got a lot of scriptures. Our handout is long just because I put all your scriptures on there. We're going to be going a lot of different places. But here's what Jesus said about that man. And it said this, "And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall." Why? Because it had been founded on the rock. Now, you know, I'm thinking about our Sunday school lesson. The coronavirus has really come like a flood. It's been a strong wind that has blown. And yet, we are stable even in the midst of that storm because we know the Word of God. We believe the Word of God. And we obey the Word of God. Life has trials. Notice it didn't say, if the storms come. It said, when they come. Storms come, don't they? Now, we could get in small groups and talk about our storms all day long, because all of us have been through storms, haven't we? But when trials come, they bring to mind many spiritual truths for us to learn in an experiential way. I think about Andre Crouch. Who remembers Andre Crouch? He was a gospel singer back early in the 70s, and he was just such a neat guy, won all these different awards. But he sang this song, "Through It All." Do y'all remember that song, "Through It All"? "Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to depend on His Word. Through it all, I've learned that I can depend on His Word." And then he says, "If I never had a problem, how would I know that God could solve them?" I just always thought that was such a cool phrase. And so it's when we go through the trials, that's when we really find out God is who He says He is. Now, things we may know in our hearts, we know these truths, but when the trial comes, we find out, you know what? Those truths are real. And there really is help from God in the day of trouble for those who belong to Him. And that brought to mind James 1 that I put on your handout. "Consider it all joy, my brethren, my sisters, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces in you endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be complete, perfect, and lacking in nothing." Now, that makes me just think of a little equation. And so let's just take that verse and make it into an equation on our handout. Let's write it out. First of all, in the first blank, James says this, "The testing of your faith." Now, how do you know your faith is real? You don't until it's tested. When the testing comes, that's when you find out your faith is real. So testing of your faith, and that comes in a trial. Now, that's going to equal, what did James say? What is the word I'm looking for out of that verse for our equation? It's going to result in what? Endurance. Thank you. Put that in the next blank. So we get the testing first, which is going to result in endurance in us, and then it's going to result in us being three things. This is what the trial produces in us. It makes us perfect, that's the first thing, complete, that's the next thing, lacking in nothing. And then the result of the whole thing is it causes us to have great joy. Now, I don't know about you. I want to be joyful. I want to have a joyful life, don't you? And so what's going to bring joy? It's so odd. It's such an oxymoron. It's going to be the trials that produce the joy. Because when I'm in the trial, I find out God is real. And God doesn't work in me. And my faith is tested. And He brings me through the trial. And I am complete and perfect. And I lack nothing. Because I find out He's who He says He is. And I can depend on Him. And that brings great joy in my heart. Now let's spend our time in Sunday school this morning. And I'm already talking too much. Reflecting on some reminders that we get as we go through the trials. We'll see how far we get. I'm going to really have to stop at 9:30. Number one, write this down. It reminds us of our mortality. The coronavirus has reminded us of our mortality. I remember when the virus first happened, I was at, we went to Utah to snow ski, and I mean, that place was packed. It was spring break. The very next week, it was shut down. Nobody was there. Ghost town. And it felt so weird to me. And at first, it was just fearful. You remember kind of just being gripped with fear and apprehensive, and you thought, am I going to die? I mean, if I get this virus, I'm old now, I'm going to die. And so at first, Bill and I we quarantined. We went home. You shouldn't see anybody. You shouldn't see your children. You shouldn't see your grandchildren. Well, that's hard for us. And so at first, I mean, talk about instant retirement. I mean, Bill had sort of kind of partially retired, but he really hadn't retired. He really was still going to the bank every day, you know, because the bank's his baby. And I suddenly it was like, you can't go to the bank, you can't go anywhere, we're going to stay here, we're going to do Walmart pickup, we can't get out. And never before had we felt so vulnerable. But here's a truth that we're seeing this morning that I'm wanting just to remind you of. Ultimately, death comes to each one of us, right? Now look at Luke 13, 4 and 5. And in that portion of Scripture, Jesus was talking about some deaths of some people. And you see, there was this group of men from Galilee, Galileans, and Pilate had killed those men, and he had mixed their blood with sacrifices. And it was a terrible thing. And they were discussing that had happened. And Jesus said to them, look at your handout, do you suppose that these Galileans were greater sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this fate? Jesus said, I tell you no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. That was one example. Then there was another tragedy that they discussed. There were 18 people that had been killed when a tower in Siloam fell on them. And it was just like a real tragedy. It was a terrible accident. Listen to what Jesus told them about that. He said, do you suppose that those 18 on whom the tower of Siloam fell and killed them were worse culprits than all the men who lived in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Note with me Jesus' response to those who were listening. Jesus said to them, repent. Turn. Think rightly about yourself, is what he's saying. In other words, Jesus was saying, it was their turn to die. And implied in this thought is this statement, and one day it will be your turn to die. So make sure your heart is right before the Lord. And the overriding issue that he was hinting at is that people need to be saved. From a human perspective, the coronavirus has been very alarming. But we are Christians. And we don't fear death. Instead, we should be about helping others who do fear death by sharing with them the good news of the gospel. and telling them, repent. Think rightly. Turn in your life. Now go to Psalm 139 on your handout, verse 16. In your book, God says, were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not a one of them. You know, the Bible warns us of the folly of worrying. Your days are already recorded in God's book. He knows exactly how many days you'll live, how many days your husband will live, how many days your children will live. He's got it all under control. And you'll live every one of those days that have been marked out for you to live. Look at Matthew 6:27. Jesus said this, and which one of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of life? Now, for sure, we want to be responsible in looking after ourselves and taking care of those we love, but it's very important for me to be reminded of this truth. God is in control regarding when a person dies. And unless the rapture happens, I'll die, probably within the next 20 years. Because I'm already 67. And my family doesn't have a long history of living a long time. I kind of hope the rapture happens. We'll just all go together. That is better. We won't even have to tell each other goodbye. All right, second reminder. The coronavirus reminds me this is not our permanent home. You know what the Bible says? We're just strangers here. We're like pilgrims. We're just passing through this world. It's not our permanent home. Look at James 4. I love this verse. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. You know, the older I get, the more I realize how quickly time passes. It's so hard to believe that I'm old. I look at people my age and I think, ooh, they've gotten old. Then I look at myself and I think, ooh, I've gotten old too. This whole coronavirus situation has served as a reminder from God that we are all so prone to becoming comfortable in this life, just to think, oh, it'll go like this forever. And it becomes easy to forget that we really are just strangers passing through. We're like Abraham, and we need to model our thinking after Abraham's thinking. Look at what Hebrews 11 tells us about Abraham. In verse 10 it says, for he, Abraham, was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. That's such a good reminder for us this morning from Scripture. We're his children. And we should be anticipating, looking forward to, and yearning for our eternal home. Hebrews 13:14. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. My next lesson in my Thursday morning Bible study is all about the details of that city, the heavenly Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem. And it's so fresh on my heart this morning as I teach you this lesson. That's the Jerusalem we need to be longing for, our heavenly home. Go back to Hebrews 11 because that is just a chapter all about faith. And the writer says about those who lived by faith, look at it with me, all these died in faith without receiving the promises. But having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth, for those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country. That is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Now that's where we're headed. Look at reminder number 3. The coronavirus reminds us not to store up earthly treasures. We have this thing we say in our family. Don't cry over things. Cry over people. People are permanent. people are eternal. Things are going to all burn up anyway, but my goodness, isn't it easy for us to become attached to our things? The truth is, they're going to all pass away. And the heavenly treasures are the ones that are most important. We have to talk to ourselves about this. Look what Jesus said on this subject in Matthew 6. He said, "Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy." Excuse me. "And where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also." I think this time during Corona has given us the opportunity to really evaluate where our treasure is. And if you're a shopaholic, guess what? That came to a halt. Well, I say that. You got right on your smartphone, didn't you? Started shopping at Amazon. But it's helped us. You know, we don't really have anywhere to dress up and go to, do we? So I just put on my same pair of Lululemon pants every morning and a different shirt, and I'm ready to go. It's easy, isn't it? Here's number four. Coronavirus reminds us of God's promise to provide for our needs each day. I'm sorry for my scratchy throat. It's all this pollen. It comes so naturally for us as humans to look at the waging waves and the winds and the storm raging around us as Peter did. And when he looked at the waves, he began to seek in Matthew 14. Where should our focus be? We got to get our focus on the promises of the Word of God. Okay? A verse you know. A great promise from God's Word. Paul says, "And my God will supply how many of your needs? Every. All your needs. According to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus." He's going to provide for us physically and spiritually. That's such a wonderful promise. And I love Matthew 6, and this is a long portion of Scripture. But girls, we need to hear this morning. Let's give it our attention. "For this reason," Jesus said, "I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all of his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today, tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, 'What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear for clothing?' For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." So sorry. This one is the kicker. "But," he says, "this is what you need to do." This is a word for us this morning. You need to, first of all, seek His kingdom, seek His righteousness, and everything else is going to be added to you. I remember as a young bride, I would get up early and I would read my Bible because I was trying to be a good Christian. And I was spending a lot of time in the Sermon on the Mount, which is where this comes from. This is Jesus' first great sermon. And basically, this was his mantra for all of his ministry. You see it in every one of the Gospels. He's repeating the Sermon on the Mount, Sermon on the Mount. I was a young bride, and, you know, money was tight. We were on a really strict budget, and I was having baby after baby after baby, 5 babies in 7 years. That's expensive. And I wasn't able to work because I couldn't afford the, I couldn't make enough to pay for the childcare. And so there I was. And I was growing in my faith. And I got to this. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And Teresa, everything else will be added unto you. And I thought to myself, could that be true? Could that be true? And I decided to put God to the test. I just told God, God, I'm just going to act like your word is true. And I'm going to quit worrying about all that other stuff that we need. Because there's a lot of needs, like hundreds and hundreds of Pampers. It takes a lot of Pampers to have that many babies. I had three in diapers. And I have found that God's word is true. I am so sorry. Give me a minute just to collect my voice. You're coughing with me, aren't you, Joy?
Yes.
She's having sympathetic coughs. I said, no, I don't want to get up there and cough today. In fact, that has become really my life verse because it's really one of the very first verses that I decided to really embrace as a promise. And I can tell you, you can take God's word to the bank. I testify to you this morning, he does what he says he will do. Now, I wish we had time to go around the room. Many of you have this same testimony where you took God at his word, and you know what? You found him to be true to his word. That's what trials do to us. They put God to the test to us. We learn we can really go to his word and can't fail. Here's number five. How am I doing on my time? We've got to go through 12 of these. The coronavirus reminds us to redeem the time. You know what? There's a whole lost world out there that needs to hear the gospel. They're anxious. They're anxious about the coronavirus. They're anxious about the state of our country. And they need to hear God's good news. And so this should help us commit ourselves to be sharing the gospel and to make the best use of our time. Listen to the command out of Ephesians 5. Therefore, he says, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. And I think in life, life is all about your choices. Ladies, we've got to learn to choose well, to make the most of our opportunities. To make the most of our opportunities, to be kingdom women speaking kingdom words into a lost world. Amen? Number six, coronavirus reminds us that we need to be risk takers. R-I-S-K, risk takers. In other words, don't be afraid to step out in the faith. Do what Jude tells us to do. He says, I felt the necessity to write to you, appealing that you do this. You need to get out there in your worlds and contend earnestly for the faith. We become so easily intimidated by the world. But let's don't. Let's make the most of our opportunities. Each one of us has a world of influence. Back in the Old Testament, there were two men that I want us to look at real quickly because we want to have their attitude. They were risk takers. And they were ready to step out in faith and trusting in God. And their story comes out of the book of Numbers, chapter 13. And this is about the time when Moses was, they were about to enter the promised land. And the Lord spoke to Moses in verse 27 saying, Moses, send men out to spy out the land of Canaan, which I'm giving to the people of Israel. And he sent them out to spy the land of Canaan. They brought back word and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him, we came to the land to which you sent us. It's a land that flows with milk and honey. and look at the fruit. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. And those are giants. The Amalekites are there, dwell in the land of the Negev. The Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites dwell in the hill country. Canaanites dwell by the sea, all along the Jordan. Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it." Then the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people. They are stronger than we are." The congregation raised a loud cry, and the people wept that night. All the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the people of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they said to all the congregation of the people, "The land which we passed through to spy it out is an extremely good land. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into the land, give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord. Do not fear the people of the land. They are bread for us. Their protection is removed from the one. And the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." Then all the congregation said, "Stone them with stones." But the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting to all the people of Israel. Let that story fall fresh on your heart. And here's what jumped out at me out of that story. Are we in the camp with the risk takers who trust God, who believe in God, Caleb and Joshua? Or are we in the camp with the rest of the crowd that sees all the impossibilities, and you know what they do? This is going to really step on your toes. They grumble and they complain. We don't realize what a sin grumbling is. You hear yourself grumbling, stop it right there. You are not to be a grumbler or complainer. You are a daughter of Almighty God. And you can step out in faith in your world. And God is with you. And I know the world looks like a huge giant. And it looks like it's stronger than you are. But let this sink in your heart. Because real faith doesn't complain. Real faith trusts God. For example, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were in a really sticky situation. It was, look, either you bow down and worship that statue of Nebuchadnezzar, or else you're going to be thrown into the fiery furnace and you're going to die. Now, that is certainly a time when you might want to grumble and complain, right? Did they? No, look what they said in Daniel 3. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." Now that is some gutsy faith right there. I want to be like them, don't you? I don't want to be a complainer. Now I'm going to tell you this morning, God has put us in this generation, living in this town, coming to this church by design. We're living our lives in this season of history. And what does faith look like for us in our own particular circumstances in the environment of the coronavirus? Let us trust God. Let us walk by faith. And let us not bellyache. Amen? If you don't get anything else out of this lesson, don't bellyache. Kingdom women don't bellyache. Kingdom women trust God, and they take risk. Number 8 reminds us that God has a right to bring judgment on the nations. He's in charge of history. He owns everything. And listen to Isaiah 45. He says this. God says, "I form light and create darkness. I make well-being and I create calamity. How about that? I'm the Lord who does all these things. And again, look what he says through Jeremiah. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at the wheel, and the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hands, and he worked it into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to do. Then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as the potter has done, declares the Lord? Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. If at any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it, and if that nation concerning which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I intended to do to it. And if any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will build and plant it, and if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I will relent of the good that I had intended to do. You see, he's a hands-on God. He's very involved in his creation. And we need to be living careful lives before him. History is his story. We need to be praying and serving and loving like we've never done before as a result of this trial of the coronavirus. Here's number 9. It reminds us that he has a right in our lives to do with it as he wants. I think about John the Baptist. God raised up John the Baptist. Then his ministry was ended, and you know what happened to John the Baptist? He was put in jail, and he was beheaded. But he served God's purpose. But when his ministry ended, he was called the greatest man who ever lived. You see, God had a purpose in all of that. And you and I are also living right on God's timetable in our little slot in history. And God has entrusted to each one of us certain ministries that he has called us to do. I think about my own life. I'm a mother. I'm a grandmother. I'm a Sunday school teacher, a Bible teacher. I am a mentor to several people. I have a calling on my life. Think of your life. You have a calling on your life. And the result of our ministries are totally in his hands. Now, we do all we can, but ultimately God is the one who is determining our future. And you know, it just makes me want to present myself to him. God, I'm yours, whatever pleases you. Whatever pleases you. Here's number 10. Reminds us that God isn't finished with our nation. I like this one. Remember Joseph? God preserved the ancient world through this one man. He was wise enough to prepare stores of food so that the people of the world would survive. Look at Genesis 41. So when the famine had spread over all the land, Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians, for the famine was very severe in the land of Egypt. Just consider and remember in your life all the times that you've seen God move. He's moved so many times. He's going before us. He's our rear guard behind us. He's always preparing. He's in the details of our lives. We can't always see in advance, but as we look back, we see how God has moved. He never wastes anything in our life. Everything you go through, he will use it. It will become your platform for ministry, won't it? God still, I believe, has much to do in our country. There are many, many righteous people living in our country, millions of them. And just always remember this, God would have stopped the judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah if there had only been 10 righteous people living there. That comes out of Genesis 18:32. And there are millions of believers in America. And God wants to make us to be salt and light in our nation. Let's use this time with the coronavirus to reflect. What is God calling and expecting of me? Here's number 11. I'm almost there. Reminds us, coronavirus reminds us of what our response would be, or should be, I'm sorry. And I'm going to have to stop. You remember Job, of course, and I put some scripture there about Job. And really the answer to why everything bad happened to Job was, you know what, just trust God. He knows all things, and we do not. And we need to recognize who we are compared to him, and we need to repent before God like he did and worship. And number 12, just so you'll have it, reminds us to never forget what God has commanded us to do. And that's to go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. That is why we are here. And let's let this coronavirus make us women who take the Great Commission seriously. I want to close with one thing I read. I actually read it on Facebook. It was a quote by a pastor. Consider it as we close. He says this, quote, "Sometimes I just want it to stop. All this talk of COVID, looting, brutality, I lose my way. I become convinced that this new normal is real life. Then I met an 87-year-old who talks of living through polio, diphtheria, the Vietnam protest, and yet, at 87, he is still enchanted with life. He seemed so surprised when I said that 2020 must be especially challenging for him. No, he said slowly, looking at me straight in the eyes. I learned a long time ago not to see the world through the printed headlines. I see the world through the people that surround me. I see the world with the realization that we love big. Therefore, I just choose to write my own headlines," he said. "Husband loves wife today. Family drops everything to come to grandma's bedside." Then he patted my hand, looked straight in my eyes, and said, "Old man finds new friend." His words collided with my worries, and it freed me from the tether I had been holding so tightly. They floated away, and they left me with a renewed spirit and a new way to write my own headlines. You see, your attitude is everything. Be encouraged this morning. Be women of God. Be women of the Word. Learn His promises. Stand on His promises. Don't get your eyes on the storm. Put your eyes on Christ. Amen. All right, a lot more I want to say, but I had to cut it short. Do lesson one in your book and come back next week. I'll have plenty of handouts. We won't be so short. Let's pray together real quickly. Our Father, thank you, thank you, thank you for this rich time together in this room this morning, for blessing us through the words of your holy, holy book, for giving us great encouragement in our hearts. And Father, we say yes. We want to be like Caleb and Joshua, risk takers who believe you and who trust you. We want to worship like Job did. Even after everything had been stripped away, he worshiped you. He repented. He fell before you, God. Make us like that. Help us to be strong women, recognizing this is our day. This is our opportunity to serve you in our generation. And we bless your name together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm so glad you came. And let me have those...